Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Phil, have you had a few curries to celebrate?
Oh.
Eh?
Well, wow. What a... Hey, that was unbelievable, wasn't it?
Well...
Didn't they dig it out?
Well, they not only dug it out, but I reckon it was one of the most incredibly...
Boring? Oh. Oh, I thought you were going to say boring.
Certainly wasn't boring.
Oh, hang. It's shocking to watch,
it,
though, isn't it?
It certainly wasn't boring. Oh. I would actually suggest to you, and obviously I've still got a lot of work to do to educate you in the world of cricket.
I couldn't wait for the T20 to start that night. See some runs.
You're trying to add. You saw plenty on the last day of a test match. Now, let me tell you, I believe that was one of the most brilliant days of test cricket and totally deliberately orchestrated and planned by an amazingly determined, courageous Indian cricket team. There you go.
Against the best bowling attack ever in the whole world.
Well, supposedly at the present time, yes.
The best Australian bowling attack ever.
But what amazed me was that the Indians did it with a minimum of fuss. There were no big, you know, whistles and fanfares. Yep. It was, guess what? Occupy the crease, don't lose a lot of wickets, and things will look after themselves. Or at least you give yourself a chance to make some decisions. If you've lost four or five wickets, then you are really, haven't got too many cards up your sleeve.
The one guy, now you'll know his name, the opener, starts with a P.
Number three.
Sorry, he got hit like 10 times on the body, didn't seem to worry him.
Well, there's the next thing that I would like to talk about for a minute, that it's almost time that somebody with some degree of intelligence in the Australian cricket hierarchy explained to the world's best fast bowlers that if you keep bowling at a body, in the old days it used to be called body line, but in today's world it's called aggression. If the batsmen are prepared to wear those, then you're not going to get him out. And the reality is that it's been a very, very old and time-tested instruction. Bowl at the stumps. That makes the batsmen play shots. If a batsman plays shots, then they're likely, sooner or later, to make errors. And guess what? Then you get them out.
Really? Yeah. Is that how it works?
That's as simple as that.
Well, now, what about Langer? Well, to a Langer that, eh? Can you send him an email or something?
Well, what amazes me is that, that's the second series in a row that we've lost to India. You could argue the first time Warner and Smith were banned because of the Sandgate, but this time we're full strength, and we haven't learnt. In the first series, Australia got, I think, off the top of my head, it was a total in four test matches, three LBW decisions, and in this series, they got four. Okay. So that's in eight tests, they've got seven. Now, to get LBW, guess what? The ball's got to be hitting the stumps. So because of the lack of that, there's a suggestion, surely, that instead of bowling at the body, the top of off stump might have been a good trick.
And they weren't frightened to always query the umpires' decisions either, Australia. They were really clutching at straws there at the end, weren't they?
Under pressure.
Yeah, you could see it. They were panicking.
Unfortunately, and I'm an Aussie through and through, but everything that the Australian cricket team has stood for...
What's that curry you got cooking out the back here at the moment? You sure?
Everything that in the past the Australian cricket team has stood for, sledging, bad behaviour, etc., under pressure came out again. The captain sledging from behind the stumps, the short pitch bowling... The accusations.
Scrubbing out the batter's crease.
Yeah. Talk about Payne's comments coming to, you know, there they are. They've batted the whole of the last day in Queensland to not only win the game, but the series.
Gillespie, yep.
And I hope it's echoing in his ears when Payne, when Ashwin was wearing lots of body balls, etc., and batting for the draw in Sydney, Payne said, "I can't wait to get you to Brisbane." Well, maybe he made a mistake.
Came back and bit him in the well, you know,
it, it did. It really did. But, so anyway, they in my opinion, they genuinely deserved to win. Hmm. They really did.
Even without Coley. I mean, he's gone home, you know. And
hang on. That was their B grade 11.
Yeah.
Seven. Do you know, I think only three of them played in all four test
right?
matches.
Wow.
That through unavailability, Coley going home, etc., injuries, there were seven of that 11 would not have been in their first choice test team. And they have beaten Australia.
We have got problems.
I might say that is the first loss at the Gabba.
Gabba, yes, 30-odd years or something.
Mid-1980s.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, before someone, a listener, points out to us.
And we have plenty of them.
Yeah, we do. Now, to be fair, that record is true.
Yep.
However, we must also take slightly into account that the conditions normally... Brisbane hosts the first test. The last test. And so instead of it being in December, it's in January. Now, you can say, hang on, what's a month? But in Queensland,
weather conditions. Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, it should have favoured Australia. But the Indians were just magnificent. They really were.
We have got problems. And I think I saw the guy that should come into the side last night bat, and he made 100 in the I know it's only a T20 and it's not your favourite cricket, Rick. At all, but Alex Carey, he's got it. He is just so cool in a crisis.
Phil,
and he can keep.
Phil, you actually, having almost despaired at your comment about the boringness of the last day.
Well, it
you,
was.
You have now, you have now come up with the entire answer. Now, we've got every guru in the cricket world now making pronouncements on who should be dropped, what we should do, etc., etc., and we're not going to have too much time to run through the lot.
No, that's
But if we quickly name them, the captain's the first thing. You know, in my opinion, he got us out of a big hole with sandpaper.
Mm.
He would never have normally been first choice as captain.
That's right.
Has done a good or reasonable job. His days are numbered. He won't get dropped if South Africa goes ahead. But we've somehow got to look for a future captain. Okay, there's one problem. The second, the openers. We went through five openers during the test series. Now, the question is, everyone's assuming that Pekoski is the new messiah.
Mm.
Now, he looked good, but one innings as an opener doesn't solve the problem. If you then say, oh, well, Warner's back. Well, hang on. Warner's statistics, other than two innings against Pakistan, have been very ordinary. And bearing in mind he's mid-30s, he's not going to be there for much longer. So you have got a question mark about the opening positions going on. Now, okay, we'll just slip past that. Then you go to number five. Now, the series was either with Wade or Travis Head. I don't believe for the long term either of them are the answer. And guess what? Who is the bloke you mentioned?
I know.
Alex Carey. Guess what? Not one guru, admittedly, they all come from the Eastern Seaboard, not one person is mentioning him. He's got a track record of making runs in all three forms of the game. Not only that, He is a quality wicketkeeper, as you've said, and he's a quality batsman who has the flexibility to bat either as an opener or down the list at number five.
Mm.
Most of your problems are solved if they've got the courage to pick him.
Yeah.
You know, and just because you've got Payne and probably Wade in the squad, so what? Just consider Carey. Carey stands up as a choice batsman anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And last night, Fox interviewed him after the game, a quality bloke to go with it. Level-headed, no airs and graces about him, no big-headedness about him.
Speaks beautifully.
Yeah.
And in fact, because he's vice-captain of the T20 Australian International side, the rumours are that Cricket Australia, probably more so than Saka, are impressed with his leadership qualities. Now, get him into the side, you know, like tomorrow, so that he can get a bit of, you know, I'm here. And after, say, even one of the big problems I think Payne faces is if Australia don't do well in South Africa, for the first time ever, they're going to have a Test World Cup match between the top two ranked sides in England in their summertime, mid-June or July or whatever it is. Now, at the moment, because Australia got knocked over by India, they would not make that final.
Oh, okay.
It would be
New Zealand
and India.
Yeah.
Now, Australia are going to have to do well. I know South Africa have been very strong. They've got big problems over there. Personally, I don't think the tour even go ahead.
Mm.
But if we don't make that final, I think it's the excuse that Cricket Australia might use to move Payne on.
Mm.
But the big question is, who's the captain? You know, they're talking about, because they want to do anything other than talk about a South Australian, they're talking about Pat Cummins. Well, I don't believe fast bowlers can ever be captains.
I agree.
Then after that, you know, Travis Head. Well, Travis Head can't get the side. Exactly. So you've got to look. Okay, also, Alex Carey isn't in the side, but he can be if they pick him.
Yeah, that's right.
Not instantly as captain, but get him into the side, and the flexibility he gives is unquestionable.
I agree.
Now, the other problem, I believe, and it's not knocking him, his service has been good. I can't believe he's got that many wickets. But the great Nathan Lyon.
He's finished.
Well, he's in this test series just completed, in four tests, he's taken nine wickets at an average of 55. I reckon you would get an average about 50.
That's bowling, not batting.
Well, that's true. Bowling. And speaking of bowling, he's back. Listeners, he's back. Phil, he's burning up the greens. Eh?
I am.
You've even won
played midweek.
You've won on Saturday.
Yes.
First win since.
So getting off of cricket, this is at the moment.
First win since about October the 20th.
Yeah, true. Second win of the season.
And then
back it up midweek. Bang. Thank you very much. At Morphett Vale. Is that in a different state? That's a long way to go down there, isn't it?
What an amazing performance. Tell the listeners, I know you're modest, but tell us, what was the result?
Oh, we won by 45 shots.
Yeah, but what about yours?
26-9.
26-9.
Thank you very much.
I thought you told me that the blokes parked their white sticks and
guide dogs. Had dogs, these Labradors with them. I don't know what that meant.
Anyway, I'm glad you're back.
Thank you.
I've always said, because I've been very in sport for a long time, I've always said, you can't keep quality down.
No.
It will eventually.
Cream will rise to the top.
The cream will rise to the top.
I hope it keeps rising. We need a couple more wins. But anyway, we'll see how we go.
Is that a new Nescafe sponsorship on your shirt there?
Right, we're going to have a joke. We're fastly running out of time.
I think we should have a joke.
We need a joke.
Did you hear about the two polar bears? They walked into the main bar of the footy club. One of them went up to the bar and said, bourbon and Coke and a VB, please. Why the big paws? Asked the barman. We were both born with them, replied the polar bear.
And that got passed by the producer?
The producer thought it was very good.
Very good. Okay, that's all very, gone
very
through.
Good. Now, we've got a couple of seconds up our sleeve. I think we should just very briefly mention, I know you're an old Tanunda man, but this is dominant. They've just announced the senior men's Barossa and Light cricket team to compete in Country Carnival.
Okay. When's that?
It starts on the 31st of January, goes through to
in
the
Adelaide?
4th. Some games in Adelaide, and for the first time, some games in the Barossa.
Oh, okay.
So
I might try and catch a couple of those.
Yeah, and with a bit of luck, I might even get to umpire a couple. Quickly.
Oh, they're not that short. I hope that didn't come out over here.
That's fair. I can hear you, but I can't see you. it's almost the Tanunda side.
Really?
Trent Gurs,
yes,
captaining the side. David Goldner from South Gawler, vice-captain. Deputy Vice Captain Brad Wilson from Malalar, he batted and bowled. He won the game on his own that I umpired last day. Jeez, he's a good player. Matthew Robinson, Lindock, Kobe Cornish from Tanunda, Sam Calhoun from Tanunda, if in doubt, just choose Tanunda blokes. Luke Snowden from Tanunda. Oscar Harms from Tanunda. Oscar's in. Bailey Nitschke from Light Pass. Mitch Norton from Newry. Austin Poulton from Sandy Creek. Now, he is one up-and-coming young player of total quality. He's going to be good, I reckon. Ben McMullen from South Gawler and Riley Leggett from Angaston. And coached by the one and only Michael Cogan.
Oh, no. Coach?
So there you go.
Mick Cogan.
He is indeed.
Umpired a bit of footy with Mick.
Yes, yeah.
Well, wow. There you go. I'd be like a minibus, wouldn't he? Half a coach. Boom, boom.
You said that, not me. Now, just to finish with.
I like that one.
I've got to change the subject here. I've got it. I think this actually, I'm going to quote Brian Jenkins from Safety Bay in Western Australia. Right. And I sadly think this sums up many Australian feelings about the Australian cricket side at the moment. Here I go, I'm quoting. India's message to Australian cricket could not be plainer in the words of Henry Newbolt's hallowed poem, play up and play the game. Because our side's sledging, body line methods are just not cricket, I'm delighted by their humbling at the hands of a resolute third 11.
Yeah, I like that.
I do. It's pretty good.
I thought you might have thought of that and written that in the paper, or wrote that in the paper, or whatever.
How did you know that was one of my non-diplomas?
Yeah, I knew it wasn't yours.
Too much quality English in there for me. All right, folks. Well, we've just about run out of time.
We're done.
Until next week, this is Rick.
And this is Phil.